Somebody's unhappy. It's good to be back after being away. Thank you, ladies, for taking care of the service last Sunday. And what's your problem?
I don't know.
What's your problem?
I don't know.
Well, you got it, though. You got
a problem. I was supposed to do that. Okay?
Okay.
I'm just being obedient.
Well, what's your problem?
I don't have a problem.
What's your problem?
I don't have a problem.
I know, Jody's, what's your problem? A little baby, right, right. Every one of you have a problem. You've got a problem. And some of your problems are, and some of your problems are, ooh.
What if my problem is you? No, I'm kidding.
We do have problems. We do have problems. We all have problems. And today I'm hoping that as we illustrate and work through besieging your problem is that when you we leave in a few minutes, you can say it's been good because I have learned something by the help of God to help me through this difficult time that I'm in, because we do have a problem. I don't know what your problem is, but but you got a problem. You have a problem. And oh, come on in. We have three imaginary ushers here.
Wow.
And now
we got a problem.
No. You've got the problem. They are going to pass through the congregation right now and give you a clay, yes, you may do it now, a clay tablet and a pencil, and you're to write down, this lady has, yes, all the way back there in the balcony, yes, let these imaginary ushers go. All of you receive the tablet, hold up your hand, you got the tablet. Okay, now I want you to take the pencil and seriously, soberly, and reverently, and honestly, I want you to write down on that tablet just one of your problems. What can it be? Only you know. A difficulty, an addiction, a problem, a marital situation, a job situation, financial, a passion, a lust. Just, I'll give you time to write down, if you will. Okay, thank you, ushers. Now I want you to send your attention to the overlay, if you will. And our scripture today is from the King James translation, Ezekiel chapter 4, 1 through 3. And you may read with me, if you will. But when you get to the blank, I want you to put your name. When you get to the problem, just leave it blank, because I wouldn't want to embarrass anyone. Ezekiel 4, 1 through 3, together. You also, son of man, kneel, take a clay tablet, lay it before you, and portray on it a city, Jerusalem, which is your problem. Lay siege against it, build a siege wall against it, and heap up a mound against it, set camps against it, and place battering rams against it all around. Moreover, take for yourself iron. Against it. Okay. You, son of man, your name, take the clay tablet which were given to you, imaginary, and you lay it before you, and you portray on it the city, Jerusalem, which is your problem. Now, in this context of Ezekiel 4, 1 through 3, the city, Jerusalem, is going to be our problem that we're faced with. And we're to do these various things, and if we do these things, we're going to find ourselves successful in besieging the problem. So here we have, say, that's me. That's me. Okay, it is I. And this is what? My problem, my situation right now that we're working on. So what we have is you working toward your problem, the situation that you have right now. Now, from Ezekiel, we'll take our game plan. And the first thing we were told to do if what he was first told to do was to, in verse 2, the first thing was to take a fort. In other words, he was to build a fort. Now, the fort was like a watchtower. And so you've got you there. You've got your problem that you're trying to besiege. First, you take the fort. Now, the fort played a very important part because when you climbed up on a fort, what could you see? You could see much more, much more. So the first of the five things is you must build a fort as you try to besiege your problems. And these watchtowers, is what the word was, could be like 20 feet tall, and they would be very important in besieging the city. A person could climb up on a watchtower, and they could look, they could see the enemy. They also, if they were close enough, could harass the inhabitants. And what we're doing in besieging our problems is, first of all, we're building the fort. This is the siege work that Ezekiel says. And that is, we see our problem. The fort lets us see the problem. A lot of people don't believe they have a problem. And when it's pointed out to them, they say, well, that is not me. But we do have these problems, and sometimes they surface unknowingly, and that's when we must deal with these. So for me, for you, the watchtower is very important because the fort, the watchtower, lets us see what we are against it. If you don't see your problem, well, take a goal. If you don't have a goal, you will miss at everything. So you've got to have a goal. So we see a particular problem. Now, I didn't ask you to write down two or three of your problems. I just asked you to write down one, just one problem. See your problem. It could be a hang-up, it could be a reoccurring sin, it could be a problem, it could be a passion, whatever it is. But the fort is the watchtower, and it lets us see the problem. So I think we can pass that and go to the next step. The next step was you are to build an incline. This is the incline going up to the problem. Building the incline road to the city was really important because they would build it with all kind of materials, everything they could find, trees, brush, rocks, everything they could do to build a road up to the city. They could actually climb up the road and get to the city. So in besieging the problem, we have got to have this inclined road. And what that does is lets me get closer to my problem. I may even get to the very top. This is called the siege work. It's called the mound. It's called the inclined road. And when we approach our problems with that inclined road right now, we are going to build ourselves a mound close to as we approach our problem. And we're going to build that mound out of what? Prayer, Bible study, worship, singing, everything we can do that the Bible says helps us, and we can add faith. And so we call into being the things that are really not there. So first we have the fort, it's the watchtower. We have the mound going up to our problems. And then the next thing that we read in the scripture, which you yourself read, was there was the camp. You got to have a camp. So right now, I take it that we are camping right now. We're camping as we are seeing our problem. And I really hope that you have identified a problem and not just letting go in one ear out the other. For it to be effective, we've got to visualize the hang-up that we have and try to do something about it. So the camp was very important. That's where we are right now. We are camping. We are establishing ourselves. We are establishing our position. It's like, here I stand against this problem. I'm going to stand here against it. Like in Jeremiah 52, verse 4. You don't have to turn to it. It just reads like this. So in the ninth year of King Zedekiah's reign, on the 10th day of the month, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, marched against Jerusalem, like we're marching now against the Jerusalem, which is our problem, with his whole army. They camped outside the city. And that's what we're doing. We're camping right now outside of our problem. They built siege works all around it. And that's what we're doing right now. We are camping here. We're saying, here I stand. I'm not going to be moved. I am acknowledging the fact that I do have this problem. I acknowledge it. And I'm not going to run away from it. I'm not going to give in to it, but I'm going to do something about it. And what I'm going to do is this. The fourth thing that you read in the scripture that followed the camp was you are to take battering rams. Battering rams. What was a battering ram? Okay, that's great. An object that tore down a blocked place. And so if we're going to get to our problem, we've got to take the military engine, in this case, was the battering ram. And in history, we're told about these great battering rams. Military engines, they were called. Sometimes they were built on three legs, and they had a huge, like a tree trunk, that would swing back and forth. Sometimes men would get on both sides of a large, heavy pole and attack. Sometimes on the end of the tree or the massive pole would be metal, what have you. But it was called a battering ram. And the purpose of the battering ram was to besiege the city. The purpose of our battering ram right now is to besiege our problem. And what is our battering ram but the cross, the cross? It's the cross. And so when we see the problem, we take the battering ram of the cross, and we are going to make some victory over the problem, because we're going to subdue that enemy, which is our problem. And we say, I come against you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to take this war machine of the cross, and it is a war machine, people, and we're going to use it as a battering ram against our problem. Then the fifth thing that you read off on the screen was that you're then supposed to take a wall. And the wall was very, very important. Up the wall. Ezekiel was told to take the iron plate and make it a wall. Now, the wall is the shield of protection. The wall would let a person get close as possible to the problem without being hurt. They would be able to advance with protection. And in offensiveness, they would move against the enemy. So we have now our shield of protection with this problem that we're faced with. And we have, well, we have the offensive, and what's the other word? Defensive. And so the wall that we're going to take now is our shield, and the shield can be used for defensive, or it could be used for offensive, whichever the case might be. So with your Bibles open, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, if you would. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. We are in a battle with our problems. You know, problems come to us as a result of a stupid mistake that we make. Problems come our way because of somebody else. In other words, some problems originate internally, and some problems originate externally. Belonging to the human race means that we are just going to have to pay the penalty of that. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, what is your difficulty or your problem, your adversity, blah, blah, blah? What is it but a stronghold? And so we demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. So this is the offensive. And what we're doing, it says here, verse 4, 5, and 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, first of all, it is the destruction of strongholds. We are to destroy the stronghold. So if my problem is a stronghold, am I just to take it and say, well, maybe it'll go away, out of sight, out of mind, or maybe tomorrow it'll be different? No, we're not to accept it. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to do something about it. And the verse 4 is we're to destroy it. We are to destroy the problem, which originates by various ways. For example, there are the reasoning philosophies that we are living with in this age, especially in this materialistic new age. We've got people who are trying to nullify the Word of God and the facts of the gospel. We have our neighbors who say this or say that, what they think. We have a past lifestyle that causes the problems. And all of these, they're strongholds. They're strongholds. So the problem is the strongholds. But we can pull these strongholds down and demolish them with the power that God has given us by the cross. So first he says, destroy the strongholds. So I say, I stand against you. You have controlled me. You have dictated to me. You have, I have allowed you to just be, I have been assumed by you as my problem. But now I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to raise the banner of the cross high above you, and I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. The next verse says we are to cast down imaginations. Now what does this mean? It means false arguments. It means we're to cast down the reasonings and the theories. Somebody say we're going to cast down all boasting gods and lords and systems, and they will fall before the gospel. House-sounding phrases of like Plato, Aristotle, and Socrates, and even Judaism will fall before the preaching of the crucified Christ. And so as heathenism shrinks before the gospel, so our problem can shrink before the gospel. You're saying, oh, that sounds so easy. That sounds so good. And it does sound easy, doesn't it? And it sounds very good. But let me tell you, it's not that easy. And you can say, Pastor, I can say amen to that. But the Bible says we can do it. It says you can cast down the imaginations. And then the third thing in the verse 4, 5, and 6 was bring into captivity every thought. Bring into captivity every thought that invades you. And so I say, I am going to take prisoner. I'm going to lead this thought captive to obey Christ. And these evil thoughts, Scripture says, I will bring into captivity every thought. That's not my word. That is the word of God by Paul. Every evil thought of all kinds. It includes any thinking that is contrary to virtue, any thinking that's contrary to purity, any thinking that's contrary to righteousness. We are going to bring into captivity those thoughts. Now, you see, it happens to be those issues that fortify our problems. It's those issues that make the problem that we're trying to besiege this morning. And then it says, having unto readiness. What that means is, it means it's ready to punish any act of disobedience, to avenge all disobedience. So we will stand at all times. We will like stand ready to court-martial any opposing the gospel of Christ. And this is the offensive. Now the defensive part of working toward your problem is Ephesians 6:16. Many of you know that scripture. Ephesians 6:16. In addition to all this, like what I've already spoken this morning, in addition to all this, take the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. We take the shield of faith. This is the defensive. We will hold up against ourselves and those flaming darts that Satan just hurls at us with all of our problems and situations. He's throwing those darts at you so fast. Even right now, some of you are being bombarded with thoughts. It is not God. It is Satan who hurls those flaming darts at you. Now, in besieging a city, they use flaming darts. They actually set fire to large darts and catapulted them over the wall into the city. But the scripture tells us that we can lift up our shield of faith. And again, it is so easy. But when you are in a situation where you are being squeezed, when you're in a situation where they're just you are so captive, it is so hard to get that arm up with that shield of faith. But with God's power, you can. It's an act of will. I am going to raise that shield. I'm going to stop the flaming darts. Now, in biblical days, like in the siege of the real city, Jerusalem, they had their shields, and they were made of wood and leather. And many of them would catch on fire when the darts came. So what they did, they would cover them with metal, and that way the fiery darts could not catch their protection on fire. Well, as applied to the Christian warfare, we are to come against these thoughts, that fiery dart, come against that, that lust, the passion, that part fiery dart of a temptation. We're to come against that. And we can do it, people. We can do it. But it's not as easy as I've said. It's not easy as 1, 2, 3, the fort, the watchtower, see your problem. The mount, the inclined road, approach your problem. The camp, establish it, establish your position. The ram, the military engine, subdue the problem through the cross. And the wall, that's the shield of protection, advance with protection. That's the positive and the negative, the offensive and the defensive. That is all true, that is all true. But here is where, you could say, the rubber meets the road. This is where it's at. What do we do with what we've heard? Because you all would agree, it's gospel, it's true. What do we do? How do you apply it? How do you move it from the head to the heart? So this captain of the army was such a revered man. He seemed to be, it was his banner that was first in every conflict, and he would win. It was his sword that had all the blood on it. He was revered. He was the man. And his sword, oh boy, his sword was so very, very, very important. So the king said, or in this case it was the general, pardon me, the general said, I want to see this captain's sword. I've heard so much about the sword. I've seen the sword. I want to see the sword. So the sword was brought in to the general, laid before him. The general saw it. The general picked it up and looked at it. And it's like, what's so good about the sword? It's just the sword. But the guy who brought the sword to him said, oh, sir, you have seen the sword, but you have not seen the arm that wielded the sword or the heart behind the arm behind the sword. So we've seen the sword. It's so clear in the Word of God. But behind that sword is the arm of flesh that is strengthened by the Spirit of God in our heart. So we can wield the sword. And what is the sword but the Word of God? We can do this. It is the Word of God. So we will fight the problem. We will fight the difficulty. We will fight the situation that we are in. So when we started the service, this guy walks up to me and he pushes on me and I said, what's your problem? What's your problem? So I want to ask you again, what's your problem? And no, we're smiling. We're making light about this. But you know, folks, some of our problems are serious and they're deep and they can't be sloughed over and we can't hide. Sometimes they're very, very serious. But the Bible says to besiege it. And the word besiege means to press against for victory. It means surround it and crush it. And last night I looked up in the dictionary the word siege and it says compel it to surrender. Say that. Compel it to surrender. My problem, I will do what? I will compel it to surrender. The siege definition last night I saw was a persistent attack. So we're just not going to say, today, be gone. We're going to stay with it every single day until we do see that victory. And the other part of the definition was to pursue diligently or persistently. And that's where I fail. That's where you fail. We will stay with it.
Until they broke through.
So instead of taking all three of your serious problems, just take that one. And as we take communion in a few minutes, I'm going to ask the Lord, as we do now, as we pray, God, in Jesus' name, I'm going to ask that the power and the victory and the source of strength that's found in the elements of this communion be infused into our very heart. So that we can, with a strong arm, come against our enemy, which at this point is a particular problem. Father, we have viewed it. We know what it is. We're not ignoring it. And we're asking you to give us the strength to overcome it in the name of Jesus by persistently returning over and over and over and over again in the victory that is in Christ Jesus. Amen.